to recover what we are doing in class, but directly, while I'm doing through this Neusser theorem, which is a little bit complicated because it's in a general setting. Here, I would like you to do it directly on the equation, playing with the multiplication, integration by parts, real parts, imaginary parts, things like that. And then I'm asking you, there are three problems, yeah? The second is to discover a soliton. We did it in the case of the cubic here, it's quartic NLS, 1D. And from there, using a transformation we discussed today or tomorrow for a singular solution. And then to work on the Davis-Stewartson system, which is a generalization of NLS. So if you do this problem, you can manipulate a number of things that we're doing in here, and it's a way to develop some experience. Okay, so I'm going to continue the structural properties of NLS. So we did the variational formulation, the Lagrangian structure, and the Hamiltonian structure. We are now doing the Neusser theorem. That tells us that each time you can find the transformation that leaves each time you can find an infinitesimal transformation that leaves the action invariant, then you deduce a conservation law. So I'm not going to redo everything we did last time. I'm just going to write down the material that we need. So I will write down, of course, the NLS equation. We wrote it with a general nonlinearity, with a power law. We need also the notation capital S, which is the integral of the parameter f of s ds. And later we will use this formula with f being a power law. So essentially f of s will be s to the power p. All right. In all this analysis, we're dealing with functions that tend to 0 at infinity. We have defined the Lagrangian density that I'm going to rewrite here. We need that. This is a gradient square. I write it like this because sometimes we need to differentiate with respect to. Okay, so this is L. We have that already. Yes? Yes. So L, depending on the situation, well, L is seen as a function of psi bar, all the derivatives of respect to the x, and psi t when we do the partial derivative. This is. Function L, it's a functional, yes, acting on this complex function. So
this is what the big point is just a complex number. So this
yeah, depending on x and t. I mean, the function C depends on x and t. Yes. So if you want to think of, for example, C being in H1, I mean, everything is within, let's say, Sobolev spaces, and this is well defined. So C, L is a functional acting on psi, right? And on this, and you see it as acting on 6 by independent, not 6, but depending.
Yeah,
independent variable. And from the L you defined an action. The action, again, it's on, you can see it on psi and psi bar, and also all the derivatives, is defined as integral over t, so I'm going to call it a domain.
Don't remember which domain.
This domain will be of, for example, it will be T0, T1, Rn, L of psi, psi bar, the x,
so this is the action, right?
And I am, so for those who arrive, there is some work here. So, I need some notation that you had last time, but so it was convenient to denote psi like this, and psi 0 is t, so psi is the independent variables. Okay, because we also introduced this big letter psi, because sometimes we have to do things for psi and its complex conjugate, so instead of rewriting each time, we put an index, C1, C2, C1 being real part, no, psi equals psi, and psi 2, so we try to keep this psi, right? And unfortunately, sometimes I use bar, sometimes I use star, but it's the same thing. Okay, and then we consider the infinitesimal transformation. T epsilon, it's a Groupon transformation that depends on this parameter epsilon. So xi will be c tilde, and psi will give psi tilde, and we will write this as psi plus delta psi, psi plus delta psi, and I said last time I'm going to explain more precisely what is delta psi in when it comes, but what we're interested is to define, so we define the action. We define the action of S of psi. We define the action of psi tilde. And I should write that down. Integral over the domain of L. So you see, L depends on psi, which is psi psi bar, and all the derivatives. So to take into account all the derivatives, I'm going to put this D. D will mean D0, D1, Dn. It's in brief, Dx D, and S tilde of P tilde will be integral over the new domain by the transformed domain of L of C tilde, D C tilde, right? D X D. And in fact, to be consistent with my notation, I'm going to put a tilde here to mean that I consider this function as function of the new variable. Yes, well, at this, I think at this, do I need that now? I think at this moment D will be an arbitrary domain. Of in XT. Open domain. Yeah. No, just I don't think that I think that's enough. And so we are interested in transformations that leave this action invariant. So we are dealing with infinitesimal transformation. It's as if you do derivative respect to small parameter and you take this small parameter being zero. So instead of doing that, I'm doing this difference. But it's exactly the same. And so I'm going to calculate delta S. And in the course of this calculation, I will clarify one or two points that we discussed last time that we are not completely clear. So delta S will be exactly the difference of S tilde minus S, and I'm going to calculate it at the infinitesimal level and claim the consequence of the fact that the transformation leaves that difference in being zero. Okay, so this is still the definition. Minus integral, okay, and C. So this is what I want to calculate. And the first thing is to replace this by integral so I'm going to I need to write the Jacobian of the transformation is the determinant of the matrix that you obtain by differentiating the dxc tilde I over the dxj, right? So what kind of matrix is it? Dx1, let me write it in two dimensions because it's just too many. Just to clarify a point that was asked last time, when you do the trace, when you do the determinant, you multiply this by that and this by that. But at the lowest level, at the lowest order, if you remember what is xi1, right? You have xi equals at the lowest order, it's 1 plus d dx1 d dx1 I don't know if I should write all that, but it's because of the question of last week. Am I right here?
Okay, so when you do the determinant, you multiply this by that, that minus this. At the lowest order, it gives only okay, so this is what I wanted to clarify, that when you do at the lowest order, this is the only quantity that appears. So I'm going to use the change of variables to replace this integral over d tilde to the integral over d. And so I write d. And here I have L of psi tilde for some reason. So let me write mu just to get my notation. Sigma for mu equals 0 to n. Dxc, right, minus integral over d of L dxc. Right. So I'm going to erase that in a minute. Continue along the line here. So the first term is, of course, natural to take the first one minus that one. So that's L of the psi tilde d tilde minus L. That's the difference. Okay, and plus this term, which is integral over d of L, so I should write L tilde, d tilde, and we keep in mind that we calculate everything at the linear order, at the infinitesimal order. So this is already a term that is infinitesimal, which means that when I calculate this, it doesn't matter whether I put the tilde or not. At the linear order. So we can erase this tilde. I erase in green, so don't get confused with it. All right. And then you do the Taylor expansion, like always. You do a Taylor expansion to express this difference. All right. So remember C1, C2, it has two components. So I will sum over the I, because I will do that for psi, and I will do that for psi bar. So I, 1 to 2. And remember, 1, 2 represents the function and its complex conjugate. Yeah? So I do the sum over I. And so what do I do? I differentiate L with respect to Ci. C tilde I C. Okay, so this is the first term, and then the other term, when you differentiate with respect to the derivatives, so let's calculate the sigma, I equal 1 to 2, and then I add also over all the derivatives, okay,
DL D careful D mu psi I, and then the increment, so D mu C I tilde of C minus D mu of C I of C. So this is a Taylor expansion. It's a bit heavy to write, but it's just elementary calculation. And I'm going to calculate these two parentheses. So Ci tilde of Xi tilde minus Ci of Xi. Well, what is it? It's Ci of Xi tilde minus Ci of Xi tilde plus Xi. So you do the implementation on the variable, on the function, and then on the variable. Just the classical calculation. And this I'm going to denote as delta psi I of phi tilde. Right? Delta psi I of phi tilde. And this, at lowest order, this is the notation. At lowest order, this is just, what is it? It's the sum over I, over mu, sum over mu, of d psi I d mu, delta psi mu. You agree with me? You just check, right? Just the notation now. And for the rest of the calculation, I'm going to denote, because sometimes it will be useful to denote this difference as d psi hat I. No, sorry. So in this sum, you end. Oh yes. So d over psi mu. Thank you. Yes. So this is why before I was saying this is not very well defined. It depends how you look at it, but. Now, in our notation, the delta psi I will represent the increment of psi for the same thing. And when we need to do the increment over the independent variable, we will take a little hat. Right? This is a notation. And this is also a notation. This is a calculation. All right. And so I have written this, and I'm going to write the formula for that. It's quite direct. I mean, let me write it also, because now we have everything to put back into the. So, what? Where am I? So, d mu tilde. D mu tilde of C I tilde of C minus D mu C. So mu tilde means let me see. Yes. Here? It should be tilde here? Okay. So tilde means differentiate with respect to tilde. Mu, so d mu tilde D nu means D zig sin, right? Okay. Just to simplify the notation, but you are right, you should. Is it okay, Alex? Okay. Okay, so this is equal to well, you know, maybe it would be nicer to put the tilde here. Maybe it's a better notation like that. Doesn't matter, but this is what we mean. We mean differentiation. Here we mean differentiation with respect to the variable. Okay, so what is that? If d mu tilde mu minus d mu. You said there was a tilde. Of psi tilde, psi tilde minus plus. Yes? Yes? Yes. So it depends on xi and xi tilde. It depends on both variables. What I want to emphasize that this, well, it's, you know, like f of b minus f of a. This is. It depends on both, yes. And when needed, I can approximate it by the Taylor expansion. So it's a difference of psi at two close points. No? So this is the way it is different. And here, so, well, it's always the same story. We just have not to make mistakes. Continue on this platform. So what does it equal to? So what is d mu? D mu is d dig xi mu. So it can be seen as sigma over nu of dt nu. So dt nu of a function that depends on xi tilde. So dt nu of a function that depends on xi tilde. So I'm going to replace it by dt nu. Is equal to differentiate respect to mu plus at the lowest order sigma of d mu d delta xi mu over d xi mu. Oof. Here I am. Do you agree? So, the only thing that I'm saying, I want to differentiate with respect to the xi mu. I first differentiate to the tilde 1, and then multiply by the... I differentiate with respect to the tilde, and then multiply by the chain rule. And I use that xi is... Where is xi? Xi is xi plus this. So when you differentiate, you have 1 plus... Correct? Good. So this is it. This contains everything. And now we're going to substitute all these formulas into here. So I write delta S equal... No, I write first. I'll first write. I can't go too fast, so I write. I write the difference. Let me write. I'm going to write this difference first, and then I'll go back to delta. Good. Equal. So I'm going just to add. So remember, L minus the two L are upstairs there. We have to add these two sums. I calculated the first parenthesis there, and the second parenthesis below, put everything together. And I get. I will add the sum later. Just leave the important terms. Right. I'm taking care of the first term up there, plus the second term, so over again, okay, so I have to sum over mu, dl, I just copy that, okay, and now I replace what I have just done here. Gives me the D. D mu. Where am I? Well, I'm going to copy this about. I'm going to copy this D mu. Right? So I'm going to copy this d mu. You agree with me that the d mu acts on the same function as the first one. I'm just going to copy that. Sorry for the hesitation. To replace this one by that. What happened here? Forgot something. So. I have to add to sum over nu. I don't know why I have a minus. Where does this minus come from? Maybe it's a plus. Okay. Am I okay here? Where is it? Give me. Okay, I'm right now. D nu tilde minus D nu gives a minus. Like that. Oof. Here it is. Yeah. Okay, so this is a. We are fine with this calculation. We're going to put it back in delta S. Oh, yes. So summation, you sum over the repeated indexes, always. So you sum over mu. So what is that? What is this? D mu. So. I'm sorry. So. D mu, D mu. Yes, the sum of the repeated indexes. So it's mu nu. And here, the sum of the repeated indexes. So it is mu. Sorry for that. Thank you. The sum of the nu and the mu. So nu goes to from one. From 0 to m. Okay. And then finally, so you replace it into here, and you, when you replace into here, you will use the following remarks, which are just very simple, but we need to do that. When you differentiate something like that, you have several terms. Because we're going to replace that into delta S, right, into delta S, and then we want to regroup the terms. So when we regroup the terms, we want to see that some of them combine, and one of the things that we will use is that when you differentiate an expression like this, well, you have well, it's elementary, but we need it. And then you see L as a function of all its variables. So you see DL, DC, I. Here you have, right? You see L as a function of its, of the derivative of C, D, D U C, this means two derivatives of C respect to mu and nu, delta C mu. If you want, this is this, you can write it d mu mu, two derivatives respect to mu and mu of the same thing. Right? Okay, and there's another one that you may want to use. When you calculate this, okay, sorry. This this is a term that appears here around there. For example, here, you would like to see that as the d mu of the total thing, of the product. Remark, and then you put it everything back into delta S, and what you get is the following. You see a ddx mu of a big expression. Well, this was exactly the purpose of playing with the terms to have a ddx mu outside. So ddx mu dx. I'm going to write it. Plus integral over d of dl dci. Ddx mu sum over d dm multiplied by. Okay, so I let you copy this, and then I'm asking you, what is this parenthesis? What do you think of what it's in between the parentheses? You can look at your notes from before. And in the middle here, we have L and we're almost done. What do you think of this? What do you think of the second parenthesis? Yes, this is the Euler-Lagrange equation. Sum over I. Psi is zero. Because psi is the solution of NLS. Euler-Lagrange equation is exactly the NLS equation. This is zero. You agree? If you want, you assume that psi is an extrem of the Lagrangian. So psi is the solution of NLS, yes. Psi is the solution of the Euler-Lagrange equation associated to that particular Lagrangian. You suppose that psi, how does it work? You have a Lagrangian, and you are looking for transformation of the action, right? And psi is a solution, is an extremum of the Lagrangian. Psi is solution of your equation. So it is true I have not used NLS, but I have used that. I'm using here that psi is the solution of the Euler-Lagrange equation. Okay?
Okay, so in general, instead of taking up on any function step, but we ask only on the extremum of Lagrangian.
Yes, so let's say it like this. Yes. In general, you define the Lagrangian as a functional, and you define the action as the integral of the Lagrangian. Then we are looking how the action is transformed when you make some very small perturbation of the dependent and independent variables of your problem. Right? And the purpose is to work with the solution of the Euler-Lagrange equation. So we take a solution of the Euler-Lagrange equation, and we see how the action is modified. And the next step will be, suppose that the action is unchanged by this transformation, what happens? So at this moment, the delta S is calculated like this, and the second. Now, suppose that by this transformation, by this infinitesimal transformation, the action is unchanged. Infinitesimal transformation. Then, since D is an arbitrary domain, we must have that this integrand is zero. And you remember that sometimes, you remember what is delta psi, right? You remember what is delta psi and how it is related to delta psi hat. So sometimes I would like to use this in the form of the same thing. Delta psi and I'm going to write it down because I will need it later. Let me come back to your question, Andre. Suppose that, how are we going to use that? Suppose that I have Are we going to use this in the context of NLS? First of all, by integration by part, if we need to do it by, we need to use the. It's a question of notation. What do you mean by delta psi? Well, oops, I just erased it. But delta psi, what was it? You remember? Yes, delta psi was a difference. It was the. It was expressed like this. So delta psi represents the variation of the function at the same point. Sometimes it's more when you apply this formula, it's more convenient to work with the difference psi of psi tilde. Let me not make a mistake. You know what I'm. I made a mistake in the definition of this delta psi. Delta. Sometimes it's more convenient to work with this one. With this difference, and this is that the difference that I'm calling delta psi hat. So I'm sorry, go back to your notes, to your page. This thing that I have just erased, I did not read correctly. You remember this that I wrote? Thank you, Alex, for your question. This was exactly written at this piece. So, this is delta psi, and this is by Taylor approximation. And what I'm going to call delta psi is the whole thing. That difference. It's not this part. It's the whole thing. Okay, so I haven't used the notation yet. It's the first time I'm using it. All right? Because it's more convenient to work with the incrementation when you change psi and psi at the same time. Right, so it's in this term, in this form. Right? And this is. So now if I integrate by part, what do I get? Well, if I integrate the formula and then so now integrate over Rn, which means integrate over the variable d c 1 d c n. Not the first one, right? Just a spatial variable. If you integrate over the spatial variable, all this dxi will disappear. Huh? So what's left is only the ddt, ddt that can I can take out of the integral. Okay, so ddt out of the integral and delta xi nu. Delta t and here, well, there will be several terms. So when I take mu so dt, yes, like this, mu is equal to 1 delta t hat, and I'm going to do that. Minus dt t delta t.
Oh, is there something wrong here?
No, it cannot be mu mu. It cannot be, it can be only xi. Oh, okay. D, all right, this is because I take only mu equals 0, but I have to do that for psi and for psi bar. And the important thing that is C bar is psi series. And I have to do that for both. So this is the end of the formulation. Dx. So the dt of that is 0. So this is the conservation law. Dt of this integral. So this integral is conserved. Does not depend on. Yes.
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 From 0 to 1.
Yes.
And you integrate, so you have
yes.
One term and the other.
I'm sorry. Here, let me add this parenthesis that is missing because. Like, so you have, you know, ddt something plus dd x1. So all the x1, x2, x3 I integrate over the space. So they disappear. And they are zero because I suppose everything goes to zero at infinity. I work with function that decrease fast enough at infinity, and then I get ddt of the integral over Rn equals 0. So this is the conservation law. Right? in the context of NLF, what are in the context of NLF, you remember what is L? L is here. So what is the L? Deep CT. D over DTP of CT the same. So let's compute DDL, differentiate of the Lagrangian density respect to CT. You go back to the definition there, and it's I C bar. And if you need the other one, over two. So let's see how we can apply that to find the conservation law of NLF. All right? So what we're going to do is to find some infinitesimal transformation that leave the equation invariant. So if it leaves the equation invariant, it does not change the action. So the action is invariant. And we're going to apply this formula, or the above one, just depending whether we want to have it in an integral form or in a divergent form, for this particular transformation. Yes? Sorry? The NLF equation. What is it that you ask, Andrew? So let's take an example. Start with take the nonlinear Schrödinger equation. And consider the transformation by the phase shift. So what does that mean? It means that if psi is a solution, then if I multiply psi, if I call that psi tilde, by a phase factor, this is also a solution. See, f is any real number. if I do this transformation on the Lagrangian does not change. Thus, the action does not change either. Okay? So, let's see that, let's read this transformation as an infinitesimal transformation. What is delta psi? Well, delta psi is psi t. So what is delta x? Delta x is 0, I don't touch x. What is delta t? It is 0 also. Doesn't touch. And what is delta psi? Well, delta psi is psi tilde of xt, if you want, minus psi of xt. So it's psi tis minus 1. So for infinitesimal, you have to think of infinitesimal transformation, which means transformation close to the identity. For infinitesimal, so close to the identity, it means that S is very small. So this is essentially I S psi. Right? So now we have all the elements to replace either here if you want the conservation law, or above if you want it to form divergence. So let me do it in the let me do it here first because it's easy, and then I'll do it there because it's of importance to get the formula. So you see, not much is left in this, in the so DDT. So apply this to. So we have essentially two formulas. We have one up there and two here. So in the conserved quantity, so DDT integral over Rn, and then what's left here? Delta t is 0. That does not count. This I have calculated. It will be E, which is I over 2 psi bar. So let me put that. The increment of psi. The increment of psi, where is it? It's here. It's Is. And this is 0, right? This I have to put in, and this is 0. So what is that? I have calculated minus I over 2 psi. And where is it? There's a bar, there's a hat, and there's a bar. Or there's a bar and a hat, I don't know. This one is complex conjugate of what is here, minus I minus S psi bar. All this, dx equals 0. Well, if you look, what's here, it's exactly ddt integral over psi bar. S cancels out, the x equals 0. So this is a conservation of the L2 norm. Conservation of mass, conservation of. So this is the first conservation law. Conservation. And which means that it is exactly equal to the value at t equals 0. And And in the problem set that I was suggesting for the coming weeks, is that you recover this, not doing all these complicated formulas, but just by manipulating the equation. This is easy. Okay. So, let me write the other formula, because it's of importance for what we need later. Formula 1. If I rewrite, does this answer your question, Andre? Because the Lagrangian density is unchanged. Yes? Well, yes. If ψ is the solution, then ψ tilde is also a solution. And if you replace ψ tilde, if you calculate the Lagrangian associated to ψ, the Lagrangian associated to ψ tilde, they are the same. So the action is unchanged. An invariant quantity in my definition is a quantity that does not change when time evolves. Well, when you say the invariance of the action, it means that under this infinitesimal transformation, the delta S that I have calculated like this at this lower order gives zero. For example, if under the transformation the Lagrangian density does not change, in particular the last. And to finish the morning, I would like to write this formula because it is useful for later. So it means that I want to write not only the time, the dvt term, but also the d dxi, which you can see as a divergence term. So the first term, I have it already, I just have to copy it. There's an s, but s will be everywhere. And there's a minus. I don't want to write integral, so now I write just like this. Plus d dxi of. Okay, so what are these terms? This is zero anyway, it's delta x. Right? Delta x is zero in my transformation. So what I need is only and this is 0 too. So I need only to calculate this dl d d nu d c. And if you look at l up there, and you differentiate dl with respect to d nu, let's say dxi c. If you differentiate with respect to dxi c, what do you get? You get the dxi psi bar. So here comes dxi psi bar, and this term here is also again this is psi minus when you have a term, you need its complex conjugate, and it's equal to 0. So let me rewrite that to make it nicer. D dt of psi square, psi sinus x of t, plus divergence of I So this is a formula that we will need later. This is the first conservation law that we get by the phase, by the invariant by phase factor. This invariance leads to the conservation of the L2 norm, or equivalently to the evolution of the square of the function psi by the gradient, by the divergence equation. This quantity is important, it's called the linear momentum. We will use it later. Okay? So tomorrow I will go through the number of conservation laws. And once we finish this basic conservation law, I would like to work on some invariants by important transformations on NLF. And this will finish that chapter. Next, we'll move to the mathematical results on NLF.